Coast to coast on a bus, the White Rabbit line jumps anywhere, anytime.
Oh, we just roll along. Tatter up, tatter down, tatter up and down. All day long, and we don't care a lot. Maybe it's hot, maybe it's cold, maybe it's cold or hot. Matters not when an army bus jumps around. That don't worry us, 'cause we just roll along.
Good morning, little and big folks, children and grown-ups, passengers on the White Rabbit bus. Good morning and a happy Easter to you, with snow and everything. Yes, imagine my surprise when I looked out of my little apartment window this morning, this Easter morning, and found it snowing. Snowing to beat the band. Fortunately, it has all disappeared. It's so cold, though, that most of the children could not wear their Easter things this morning. Of course, that didn't bother me much. I didn't get any new things. Don't you feel sorry for me? But just the same, the big white rabbit bus is flying along, loaded with happy Easter wishes for everyone.
Yeah, I'll say she is. And here is Easter greetings from the porter.
And assistant porter.
And driver Kelp.
And Peter Pig.
And Freddy Cab.
And Mumsy Pig.
And Polly Pig.
And all the big girls.
And all the big boys.
And the little girls.
And the little boys.
And the lady next door.
And everyone. And before we go any farther, we bring you our morning hymn, a sacred song most appropriate for Easter morning, The Holy City, sung by Audrey Egan.
Last night I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and
Audrey, that was very lovely. What would Easter be without the holy city? And now I believe Mary Frances Carden has an Easter greeting for us. Haven't you, Mary Frances?
Yes, Mr. Cross. It's a poem written by Charles Hanson Towne, and it's called An Easter Canticle. Shall I read it for you now?
Please do.
In every trembling bud and bloom that cleaves the earth, a flowery sword, I see thee come from out the tomb, thou risen Lord. In every April wind that sings down lanes that make the heart rejoice, yea, in the word the wood thrush brings, I hear thy voice. Lo, every tulip is a cup to hold thy morning's brimming wine. Drink, O my soul, the wonder of, is it not thine? The great Lord God invisible hath roused to rapture the green grass. Through sunlit mead and dew-drenched dell, I see him pass. His old immortal glory wakes the rushing streams and emerald hills. His ancient trumpet softly shakes the daffodil. Thou art not dead. Thou art the whole of life that quickens in the sod. Green April is thy very soul, thou great Lord God.
Very beautiful canticle, Mary Frances. Yes, this is the time of the year when everything springs to life anew. And now here is that cute little prodigy, a little piano prodigy, 7-year-old Philippa Schuyler, who often has played her own compositions here for us on the Children's Hour, and who has won a number of citations for her musical ability. I saw her picture just lately in the, just a short while ago, with a romp around Lily Pons in one of the newspapers, and I also saw her with Lily Pons in the Musical Courier. Well, Philippa's back with us again this morning, and here she is, this little 7-year-old at the big piano, ready to tell us, in the musical tones, A Curious Story by Stephen Heller. Curious story indeed, Philippa. Fascinating and so sweet. 7-year-old Philippa Schuyler with 3 little white flowers in her dark curls this morning. And who is this standing here with her ticket ready to pay for a ride on the White Rabbit bus?
It's Jeannie Bunny Elkins, Mr. Conductor.
I believe it is. Jeannie Bunny Elkins herself, all dressed up for Easter in her colorful little heart dress this morning.
You look very sweet yourself, Mr. Cross.
Oh, do I, Jeannie?
Yes, I think you look beautiful.
Well, now... Thank you very much for the compliment. And now, have you a little song for the passengers on our White Rabbit bus today, Jeannie?
Of course I have, Mr. Cross. It's all about Easter bunnies.
Oh, yes, of course. I remember now. The Bunny's Paint Pot. And you want to do this especially for Mr. and Mrs. Call in Philadelphia.
I wonder where the bunny gets his colors bright to paint his pretty colored eggs on Easter night. If he would really truly come, I'd like to know. If he gets his colors from the bright rainbow, or if he dips his brushes in the dewdrops there to paint the lovely eggs that we find everywhere. If he would really truly tell, I'd like to know. If Bunny gets his colors from the bright rainbow.
I think he gets his beautiful colors from the rainbow and the dewdrops, Jeannie dear.
Oh, thank you, Joy.
Now do you want to come back and sit with me? I have some Easter eggs for you.
Easter eggs for me, Joy?
Yes. The Easter Bunny left a lot of them at my house, so I brought you some.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Conductor. Joy brought me some Easter eggs.
They're right here, Jeannie. Come along with me.
Well, Jeannie, while you're looking over those Easter eggs Joy brought you, I think we'll ask Margaret McLaren to sing for us. Margaret has been having a Holy Week holiday vacation from her show, Knickerbocker Holiday. She sings for us now a number which she wants to dedicate to Mr. Robert Monahan in Rochester, A Heart That's Free. Margaret with her flowered hat this morning with its Malene veiling.
And now, Mr. Conductor, the committee is here.
Yes, sir. We're all here.
The committee?
The Peter Pig Committee, Mr. Cross.
Oh, the Peter Pig Committee, of course.
You don't want to forget about us, Mr. Cross.
We call on you every Sunday.
And we always ask for a Peter Pig story.
Of course, we know we don't have to ask.
But we like to.
And then that makes us sure we'll have a story.
You do have a Peter Pig story, don't you, Mr. Conductor?
Of course I have, Marilyn. A special Easter story from Folly Farm.
Good.
And here it is. Chapter 333 in The Adventures of Peter Pig by Gene Peterson. The day before Easter finds Mumsy Pig trotting down Piggles Avenue, holding on to the hoof of her small son, Peter. Looks as if he were being taken somewhere under protest. Let's check and find out. Listen.
Oink. One day I have to play. Why do you have to drag me down to the Drake Brothers department store, Mumsy? There'll be a mob of animals, and they'll push us around and step on us.
Oh, I realize getting in a crowd isn't much fun, Peter, but I have to buy you something decent to wear to church tomorrow.
Well, can't you do it without my going along?
No, not with any certainty. When we grow, I want to make sure we get the right size today, because we won't have time to change it.
Well, then, let's go around by Hutch Hollow on our way to town.
Oh, what do you want to go by Hutch Hollow for?
Well, I have to make sure Ronald Rabbit comes by our house tomorrow. It's Easter, and I think it would be kind of nice to ask him and his brothers and sisters over to play.
Yes, it would, Peter, but can't you telephone him after we get home from shopping?
No, they haven't a telephone. With 15 bunnies to feed, I guess Mr. Rabbit can't afford anything like a telephone. Oink, their house is just around the corner, Mumsy. Come on, I can see it from here. There's Honeybun, the baby, swinging on the gate.
Oh, dear, isn't he the cutest little thing that ever happened?
Oink, hello there, Honeybun.
Oh, hello, Peter Pig.
Hello, honey. How are you this bright, sunny morning?
Very well, Faith. And how are you, Mrs. Pig?
Oh, I'm well, too, honey. But I am in a pretty big hurry. Do you suppose Peter could see your brother Ronald right away?
No, Peter can't see Ronald this morning.
Why not?
Because Ronald doesn't have any pants to wear.
Doesn't have any pants to wear?
No, Mama's washing them for Rufus' outfit. To press them so they'll look nice for Rufus' Easter outfit.
For Rufus' Easter outfit?
Yes, you know Rufus. He's my brother that's next oldest to Ronald. Mama cut Rufus' pants down to fit Robbie, and Robbie's pants down to fit Ralphie. Mama's been awfully busy cutting. She sent me out the place so I wouldn't bother her.
Oink, honey, how are you going to have a new Easter outfit?
Oh, yes. Mama took my sister's Rosie dress and made it shorter, and then she washed it and put new ribbons on it. Oh, it's so pretty. Now everybody has something to wear for Easter, excepting Ronald.
Oink. Doesn't he have anything to wear?
Well, Mama knitted him a sweater, but what good's a sweater if you haven't any pants?
Oink, honey, wouldn't you like to run in the house and ask your mother if you can go down to the Drake Brothers department store with Peter and me?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Pigs. Oh, goody, I'll ask Mama right away. Just a minute, Mrs. Pigs.
Oink, Peter, we have to do something about Ronald's pants.
Oink, yes, Mumsy. Oink, couldn't we buy some for Mumsy?
Well, I don't know now. I'd like to, but Mrs. Rabbit is very proud. But we'll figure out something. Just you come along to the Drake Brothers with me.
All right, sure, Mumsy.
Oh, Mrs. Pigs, I can go with you. I can go with you.
Well, now, isn't that lovely? Oink, you take hold of her paw, Peter, and watch when you're crossing the street.
Oh, Mrs. Pig, I just love to go into big stores. Could we ride the elevator and see the toys?
Well, I don't know whether we could do that today, honey. I have to go to the little boys' department and look at a suit for Peter. But if we don't go to the toy department today, I'll take you some other time.
Good morning, Mrs. Pig. What can I do for you today?
All right, Mr. Drake, I want to look at a suit for Peter.
Oh, then I'll wait on you myself. The clerks have so much business with everybody buying their new Easter bonnets. What kind of suit would you want to see, Mrs. Pig? Something's in the blue serge with a double-pressed coat.
Well, if you have any special bargains, I'm always interested in saving money, Mr. Drake.
Then I know just what you want. Come with me, young pig. I will show you a suit that will make you look like the kid's pajamas. It has a pinstripe and a belt in the back.
Well, I have a coat with a belt in the back, Mr. Drake. I'd rather have something different.
No, okay. I was just thinking I could save your mama some money. It has two pair of pants.
Did you say two pair of pants?
Uh-huh.
Oink, Peter.
Well, say, Mr. Drake, I guess you can show me that suit.
Well, here it is. Just feel the quality.
Uh-huh. Oink, yeah, I'll take it, Mr. Drake. And will you wrap the two pair of pants in separate packages?
Now, Peter, not so fast. I realize what you intend to do, but you don't know whether this suit will fit.
Oh, it's the right size, Mrs. Pig. See, I'll measure the waist. Just a minute. There, and the length.
Oink, Mr. Drake, do you have those pants in a size to fit a rabbit?
Oh, you mean for the cute little pony I have meet you?
Oh, now, Mr. Drake, she's a little girl bunny.
And what a cute one, with the pink eyes and the pink hair.
Oh, Mr. Drake, I bet you say that to all the girls.
Peter, supposing you take Honey over to the counter over there and show her the toys.
All right, I got you, Mums.
All right, Mr. Drake, could you give me one pair of pants to go with that suit that would be too small for Peter?
But, Mrs. Pig, if I sell you the pants that don't fit, they might split. And think how embarrassed your son would be.
Oh, but they aren't for my son. You see, I want one pair to give to Mrs. Rabbit's oldest little boy.
Oh, you mean the one that has such long ears and hops around like a jumping jack?
That's the one. He needs an Easter outfit, Mr. Drake. His mother'd be too proud to accept a straight-out gift. You see, I thought if I could arrange not to have two pair of pants that would fit Peter, you know, so I'd have to take one smaller pair.
Oh, I see, Mrs. Pig. And Peter couldn't wear them, and you wouldn't want to throw away such good pants, so maybe Mrs. Rabbit could use them.
That's the idea, Mr. Drake.
Well, it's a little irregular, but seeing you're such a good customer, Mrs. Pig, and we wouldn't want for a rabbit should run around on Easter without pants. I'll do it.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Drake. Oh, Peter, honey, we'll be ready to go as soon as Mr. Drake wraps up our package. There are two pair of pants, Peter, that come with that suit we're buying, but only one of them will fit you. The other one is too small.
Aw, can you beat that?
Yes, it does seem a shame, but I guess I can use them to make hooked rugs. Unless, do you suppose your mother could cut that small pair of pants down to fit Ronald, honey?
I don't know. I expect she could. She's an awfully good cutter.
Well, here's our package. Come, let's run along fast. Maybe they won't have to be cut at all.
Oh, goody. Then everybody has something to wear for Easter. Come on, Ronald. Let's run quick so we can tell Ronald. Ronald's going to have pants for Easter. Ronald's going to have pants for Easter.
Well, I'm glad to know Ronald's going to have pants for Easter, aren't you? We're speaking, of course, of Ronald the Bunny. Peter Pig was Mickey O'Day. Honey Bun was Jeannie Bunny Elkins. Mr. Drake was Jackie Kelk. And Mumsy Pig was Audrey Ing. It was a good story, wasn't it? The children were fine. And now who'll sing a song for Peter Pig?
Ronald has a song, Mr. Conductor.
Yes, Ronald could sing about the Red Red Robin. Of course, it isn't about a pig, but it's nice and springy.
I think the Red Red Robin is a lovely song.
Oh, so do I. It always makes me think of Billy and Bobby Mouth. They used to sing it on the bus, remember?
Yeah. All right, Ronald, will you sing about the Red Red Robin for Peter Pig? And let us dedicate it to Billy and Bobby Mouth in Faraway, California.
Of course, Mr. Conductor, I'd like to very much.
Well, here it is. It's especially for Bobbing Billy and Bobby.
When the Red Red Robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, let me be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bobbing along. Toodaloo.
That's our bobbing young Ronald, Ronald List, whom we used to call our Sonny Jim. And speaking of Billy and Bobby, we also had a telegram of Easter greetings from Jimmy McCallion, our former driver of the bus. And we all send our best Easter greetings to you, Jimmy. He's also in California, you know.
Happy Easter, Mr. Conductor.
Well, happy Easter to you, Renee. Well, you do look like spring song this morning.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Conductor.
I think she looks like a rainy spring song this morning, Mr. Cross.
You do, Patty? Why is that?
I don't know exactly.
Maybe it's because you heard her practicing her song, Patty.
Oh, maybe that is the reason.
And what song is this? Oh, yes, I see. Of course, Rain. Is that it?
That's it, Mr. Conductor.
Rain by Renee. And she wants to dedicate it by, to Eileen Ryan in Montreal, Canada.
Rain, it's rain. Listen to the patter of the rain. See, it splashes all about. Hurry, let us shut it out. And listen as it beats upon the window pane. Sometimes it's fast, and sometimes slow. But when the wind begins to blow, it dashes it against the glass, and spoils the raindrops dance. Alas! Now, again, listen to the patter of the rain. Though we shut the raindrops out, merrily they dance about, tapping, tapping, tapping on my window pane. But from its home within the sky, the rain has brought a lullaby that angels sing as God they keep. I find I'm falling fast asleep.
That's our Renee Terry, our golden-haired Renee, a symphony of dark velvet this morning. And now an accordion bit pressed out by Marcello Roviaro from Tenafly, New Jersey. It's the Jolly Caballero, which we dedicate to Dr. St. Dennis up in Montreal. Thank you. Bravo, Marcello. Marcello Roviaro and his accordion from Tenafly, New Jersey.
And now, Mr. Conductor?
Yes, now, Mr. Conductor.
Right now, Mr. Cross.
Wait a minute, what's this?
Oh, just another committee.
But not the Peter Pig committee.
Oh, no. This is a committee to request a song from you, Mr. Cross.
Uh-oh.
Yes, sirree, we want to hear you sing.
All of us wants to.
That's right, Mr. Cross.
We want an Easter greeting from you for the passengers on the White Rabbit bus.
Well, all right, let me see. Here's a good old spring song from the Prince of Pilsen, which I'd like to dedicate to my 87-year-old Aunt Susie. It's a song I can still hear my older sister singing as she used to do it years ago. Message of the Violet.
The rose's lips are warm and red and burning with desire. Her heart and soul are all aflame with passion's glowing fire. But if you touch her, have a care. She's thick with thorns beset. And nature, when she breathes of love, speaks through the violet. I bring a breath of springtime from woodlands where I grew. There's a kiss upon each petal. My lips are sweet with dew. The one who sends this message would whisper soft to you. I love you, love you, love you. And my heart's too blue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Conductor.
The committee thanks you on behalf of everybody, sir.
Well, I'm sure you're welcome, committee, and everyone. And now let me see.
We're here, Mr. Conductor.
All three of us.
All three of you?
Yes, sir. Ronald and Peter and Larry, all three of us.
Well, is this a new trio?
Oh, no, Mr. Conductor. We're not going to sing.
We're a committee.
Another committee, hmm?
Yes, sir. We're a committee to request that Diana sing a song for us.
Now, you know you don't have to go to all that trouble, Ronald.
Well, sometimes I have an awfully hard time with you, Diana. I thought maybe I needed a little help today, so I brought my committee.
Doesn't that seem a little silly to you, Mr. Conductor?
Well, I don't know.
Of course I'll sing if anybody wants me to. I don't need a committee.
Well, come along, Peter. I guess everything's all right. We can go and sit down.
Is Diana going to sing?
Of course she is.
Of course I am. Everybody knows that.
Are you going to sing the circus days, Diana?
Shall I, Mr. Conductor?
Well, I think that's a very good one, Diana, because the circus is in town, and Diana wants to do this for Jimmy McCallion in California.
Oh, circus day, circus day. Yip, yip, yay. It's circus day in town. Everyone is gay. It's a holiday. Circus day, circus day. Rum, tum, tum, here they come. It's circus day in town. From side to side, their heads are nodding. Slowly, elephants are plodding. Cages painted bright in gold. Hold while animals, we're told. Hee, haw, haw. Hear the laughing hyena roar. Rum, tum, tum. Look, there's the grizzly bear. Giraffes and tigers, lions too, just like we saw down at the zoo. Monkeys chatter, hear their patter, watch the tricks they do. Oh, see the funny, funny clowns, acrobats balance upside down. The strong man lifts 10,000 pounds, it's circus day in town. Oh, circus day, circus day. Rum, tum, tum, here they come. It's circus day in town.
Thank you, Diana. Diana, dear, Diana looks like a little pink Easter crocus this morning. This is the NBC Children's Hour. And now a special Easter morning treat by 40 Italian-American children of New York City who recently gave the first juvenile presentation of Mascagni's famous opera, Cavalleria Rusticana. We wish we had time to let you hear the entire production by the children. However, we will hear them in five familiar excerpts from the opera under the direction of Miss Ernestine Minciotti, who has trained the children in a year of intensive work. The opera, as you know, tells of some rather sordid happenings in the peaceful Sicilian village square on an Easter Sunday morning. But we're not interested so much in the story today as we are in Mascagni's music as sung by these little Italian artists, 25 of whom are between 4 and 12 years of age and 15 of them from about 12 to 20. When I first heard these dear children, I was really thrilled and profoundly moved, and I think you'll feel the same way after they have sung for you. The music has been arranged for them by Donald Perry, and Herman Chaloff will be at the piano. I wish you could see the children in their many-colored Sicilian costumes of shawls and sashes, just the way the artists look in the opera. Well, first we'll hear Turiddu, the young soldier singing off his love for Lola, who was one of his sweethearts before he left for the wars, but who in the meantime has married a teamster named Alfio. This Sicilian love song, or the Siciliana, as it is called, is sung behind the scenes in the opera. It'll be sung for us now by the youngest Turiddu I have ever known, 10-year-old Michelino Zizzo. Velvet coat, breeches, his red stockings, red tie, and red sash in his buckled shoes. Sung with all the feeling of a mature artist, though only 10 years old, 10-year-old Michelino Zizzo. And now meet our Alfio of the cast in his brown suit and leggings and his fur cap. Another 10-year-old, John Pardi, and believe it or not, John was born on the same day as Michelino, his operatic rival in the story of Cavalleria Rusticana. Isn't that a coincidence? For Alfio, the teamster, makes his entrance, whip in hand in the opera, singing of the happy life of a carter or driver, and also singing of his wife, Lola. And as he joins his friends on this Easter morning, they agree with him in chorus that the teamster's life is a fine one indeed. 10-year-old John Pardi, our Alfio, now sings his whip song, Il Cavallo Scalpita. Alfio and the children in these excerpts from the opera Cavalleria Rusticana being sung by 40 Italian children for us this morning. Near the close of the opera, Turiddu is about to have a duel with Alfio. Turiddu has been a very bad boy, and he feels that fate is against him. He has a premonition of impending tragedy. His dear mother doesn't quite understand it all when he asks her to bless him as she did before he went to the wars. And then he bids her a tender, appealing, yet despairing farewell. Un bacio, mamma, addio. A kiss, mamma, farewell. And here is 10-year-old Michelino Zizzo again as Turiddu and 14-year-old Filomena Bellezza as Mamma Lucia.
Mamma! Fuori all'aperto
sentite, si adontrano, si adontrano, si
young girl Santuzza, who was deserted by Toriddu, tells Alfio of the bad things Toriddu has been doing. And as Alfio swears vengeance, Santuzza is sorry she has told on her former lover. This is all told to us in the duet we now hear, sung by Gilda Di Maio, our 12-year-old Santuzza, and John Pardi, 10-year-old Alfio. In the opera, you know, after church services, Toriddu invites the villagers to Mama Lucia's wine shop, and here he sings his familiar, lively, carefree drinking song, or brindisi. Vivo il vino spumeggiante, in which they all heartily join in ringing chorus. First the villagers are heard singing, then Taridu, our 10-year-old, Michelino Zizzo, and Lola, 11-year-old, Rosaria Troia.
Pensiero e piange calumore nero, non è prezzo della
Wasn't that great? The performances given by these children demonstrates clearly the fact to me that Cavalleria Rusticana is an Italian opera written by an Italian in Italian to be sung by Italians, young or old. These children certainly have a natural, traditional musical heritage. They sing, as their young director has said, because they love to sing, and they just pour their little emotional hearts and souls into it. We're very happy to have had the privilege of presenting this gifted group, and we're very grateful also to their director, Miss Ernestine Minciotti. We'll interest you to know that we have as one of our guests in the studio this morning, Mrs. Luisa Basso, sister of Maestro Leopoldo Mugnoni, who conducted the world premiere of Cavalleria Rusticana in the Constanzi Theater in Rome on May 20th, 1890. And this program will be shortwave to Italy during, the next few weeks, and Maestro Mugnoni will hear it at his home in the Italian capital. And now, continuing, here is our bunny bus bugler, Jimmy Burke, who plays for us the ballad Because by Guy Dardolo. Cornet contest covering all Long Island high schools for the second year. And now here are the McNichols Trio ending our program with the Easter Parade, Marjorie, Dorothy, and Muriel.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter Parade. I'll be all in clover, and when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fellow in the Easter Parade. On the avenue, side by side, Fifth Avenue, my Easter bride, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rotograph. You're, oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking through the Easter parade. On the avenue, side by side, Fifth Avenue, my Easter bride, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rotograph. You're, oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade.
And that the McNichols want to do especially for Mrs. Forble of Stamford, Connecticut. And now I'm afraid it's time for a happy landing. So, a happy landing to you all.
We'll make a happy landing, a happy landing. We're close to coast on a bus. You'll see our bus go jumping, our hearts go thumping. We're close to coast on a bus. We're gonna jump out your way and see you any day. We're on our way. We have a good parade. Happy landing, a happy landing. We're close to coast on a bus.
Coast to coast on a bus. The White Rabbit Line jumps anywhere, anytime. See you next Sunday, same time.
This program is arranged and directed by Miss Madge Tucker, who is the lady next door. I may not be with you on the bus next Sunday. It happens to be my birthday, and I'm hoping to spend it in Vermont. I'll miss the children and you listeners, too, but I'll be one with you listening in. Thank you all for the lovely Easter card sent to the children, especially the one which I have right in front of me here. Which, like our song says, may all the ups and downs of life bring only joy to you. Milton Cross speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.